Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
I am. Hello, Clint.
Ron, I love that that picture there, your Zoom overlay. It's kind of intimidating, like kind of an action star, metal cowboy badass.
Yeah, that was my test shot when I auditioned for Yellowstone.
There you go. That's an 8x10 right there. That's a headshot if I've ever seen one. Ron, it is great to have you here on the road to rock. Not to be confused with the streets of rock and roll. We got kind of a similar thing going on. We might just have to merge up and do it, me and you. That might just work.
Well, I love what you do, Clint. On the road to rock. Obviously, what a great name for what you're doing. And I've been on the road to rock all my life. It's great to be back on the show with you, my friend.
Well, it has. I think this is the first time we've ever done it this way. A lot of call-ins, but this is a little more personal. Very cool. And we got so much to talk about, including, of course, the single that you released over the summer. It's hard to believe it's already been out now for a few months. But I got to ask you, because I'm such a horror fan. And of course, it's October. It's Halloween coming up. It's my favorite time of year. It's football season in the air. This is here in the Midwest. It's just kind of picturesque this time of year, but you are have been cast in an upcoming supernatural horror film called Anomaly. Tell us about that.
Man, what a great project. And I'm just really lucky to be in the right place at the right time and to get that chance. You know, I did some acting back in the day. I was usually the biker or the rock star, or, you know, an extra in a lot of movies and a couple of film roles, but you know, I studied acting. I was never really very good at it. And this is, you know, 35 years ago when I was in the 80s, when I was doing some of that stuff. But the producer of the film, the writer, producer, director, the visionary behind Anomaly, Terry R. Wickham, is a Keel fan. He grew up listening wow. to my records, and he's a huge Keel fan. We developed a friendship a few years ago when he reached out to me to provide music for some of his video projects. And we struck a friendship up at the time. And he had asked me, gosh, it's been about a year ago. The Hollywood wheels turned very slowly. So it's been about a year since he approached me with this opportunity. He was looking for a rock star who could act for the role of Russell Tate in this supernatural horror paranormal thriller Anomaly, and offered me the role. And of course, man, at this stage of the game, I'm going to say yes to any opportunity to be a part of something like that. And I knew it was going to be a huge challenge because, like I said, I was never really very good at acting. I think I'm better now after taking 35 years off from my TV and film career, because the shoot's going great. I felt very comfortable on location in these tunnels underneath New Jersey, looking for ghosts and, the hardest thing about the whole thing is acting scared. You know, that's because there's a couple of scenes where I have to, it was really terrible. And I finally got it on the last take, but that was the hardest part for me, was acting scared. I can act like, you know, serious and, you know, really kind of just, it's kind of a Zach Bagans kind of thing. I'm the leader of a paranormal research team that gets in way over their heads. And the rest of the cast, the crew, the producer, Terry R. Wickham, absolutely has an amazing vision for this film. And what we've seen so far looks great. I'm looking forward to getting back to work on that. The schedules are crazy. It's been a long summer for me touring and working. So we've got to find some time where the stars align. I mean, the weather's got to be right. The other cast and crew have to be available. So I'm ready to get back to work on it, man. It's a fantastic movie. And just to be surrounded by total pros in an environment like that, that's not my comfort zone.
Sure.
It's a challenge. And I'm excited about the end result. I can't wait to finally at some point sit in the theater and watch it on the big screen. I'm trying to negotiate some of my music to be in the film as well, because that's what real money is, you know. So we'll see.
Well, I love the poster, the tagline, "What you can't see will kill you." The poster is like, brings up, it's you kind of wonder what the heck is this? You got these like kind of underground tunnels. You've got this like picturesque kind of setting, almost. Yeah, it looks awesome. And it's like,
yeah,
almost post apocalyptic looking in a way. Like, I'm not sure how much you can give away, but it looks tremendous.
Well, we do have a trailer. I think it's a very short trailer. There's several different versions of the teaser trailer available, but there's one I think that's on YouTube, or I get shown for a very, very quick moment. But the cool thing about the script and this anomaly film is that we don't find out what the nemesis is early. I mean, it keeps the audience wondering, yeah, and guessing. As opposed to Jaws, I mean, you know, it's a freaking shark, right? You know,
still effective, one, but yeah.
Yeah. This one, I was, you know, my first read through of the script, I was hooked. And, you know, I would have done the movie anyway, just because I wanted to do a movie, but I'm really excited to be a part of it, man. And I just hope that I can do a good job and keep up with all the talent that's around me.
You're just kind of a renaissance man these days, Ron. It's just like this your career, and from Steeler to Keel to the Metal Cowboy to now to the Ron Keel Band and acting and radio, your life has kind of become a hodgepodge. And did you at some point realize that, you know, all these things that I love and all these passions I have can manifest themselves into my career, that I can do all these things and be successful at it? That's an inspiration right there.
Well, really, it's a lot simpler than that, Clint. It comes down to creating stuff, because I love to create. That creative gene within me, whether it's writing songs or producing the radio show or content online, I'm an idea guy, and I love taking just raw inspiration, whether it's for a song or a business or any other project that I do, taking that idea and making it into a reality. That is the creative juice that keeps my motor going. And it also, it's all about entertaining people. Everything I do is geared to entertaining an audience, whether it's on the radio, on stage, in the studio, in film, as an author, as, you know, whatever I do, I want to entertain people and give them something that they'll enjoy, whether it scares you or fires you up or puts your fist in the air, makes you sing along, or just give you an hour on the streets of rock and roll to enjoy some music together. I love producing the radio show every week, and that's been a huge, it's a big job. But when I get done with that show each week, when I produce a new episode of the radio show, which includes interviews, new music, commentary, and so forth, I feel like I've done something. And, you know, most of the time, out of 267 episodes of the show now, I think I've got at least 260 good ones. You know, so there's sometimes
it's
when
small,
you know, and that's part of the creative process as well. Sometimes it doesn't work.
Sure.
Sometimes you can spend a week or a month or a year on a song, and then you finally realize, man, this just doesn't work. And that's part of the creative pitfalls that we go through. You realize, man, I got to go back to the drawing board. I got to start over, or I just got to put this idea on the shelf. It's not working. So you just shoot for as many victories as you possibly can. You mentioned our new single, "When This Is Over,"
yes,
that we released this summer. And that to me is a total victory. One of the unique occasions where not only did the song just really hit me like an avalanche, but once the song was finished, I had to record it immediately. We had to shoot the video the next week. We had to get this thing out. It was one of those things where I want everybody to see and hear this. Took me back to my childhood, where really all I wanted to do was get everybody's attention. You know, that's why we get into this business in the first place,
sure,
right? Is to get people's attention. Hey, I want you to listen to me, watch me, and like what I do, right? And as I've matured and gotten, as I've grown up in some ways, that has mattered less and less to me, where I can write a song. And there are some great songs on albums that I've done the last 20 years that were not big hits, or that maybe even a lot of people haven't heard, but they satisfy me, and I'm proud of them, and I love them, and I'm just, you know, really satisfied with that work. And if the world hears it and likes it, that's cool. If they don't, that's cool too. I created this and I love it. When This Is Over was one of those songs that, yeah, I love it. And I want everybody else to love it too. It's really special. And it struck me again last week when the hurricane hit Florida. And it took me a couple of days to realize, hey, man, that's what this song's about. You know, when this is over, and it's become an anthem for so many people. We have a wonderful fan, a young lady named Sharla Ozias, who was hit by a car and both her legs were crushed. And she ended up losing one of her legs. And she's now got a prosthetic on. Just last week, she got a prosthetic leg on. That song's been her anthem. When this is over, I'm going to walk again. You know,
it can apply to so many things, the pandemic, the hurricane. I mean, and that's why it crosses so many bounds and can be meaningful for so many people. And you were inspired by your own fans and listeners in this case on so many levels. You got letters and, you know, people just ruining the day that they can see you again live, and that this sort of anthem has provided so many people with just hope for whatever it is they have going on. It's metaphorical for so many things. And that's where I think it's a big hit. And the video is tremendous. And I know the song's been out for a few months now, but just as you've had time to reflect on it and their feedback and the impact that it's made, you just have to be really satisfied about how that turned out.
I am. It's going to be a part of every show I do from now on, whether with the Ron Keel Band or solo acoustic gigs. That song is going to be with me on every step of the journey. And, it really did start, as you mentioned, with the title, like On the Road to Rock. I mean, of course I'm going to have to create a show. What a great title. It's a great show. The same thing happened to me with the song The Right to Rock, which put me on the map in 1985. The Right to Rock, about freedom of expression, about saying and doing what we really want to do and what we really feel. I mean, as soon as I thought of the song title, The Right to Rock, was a done deal. And we're going to write the song tonight, or we're going to call the album The Right to Rock, and it's going to be the first single. And I mean, it was done. When This Is Over was the same thing. That fan from overseas, and this is before the war in the Ukraine, earlier this year, I got an email from a fan overseas that said, I love what we were doing and couldn't wait to see us on tour when this is over.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tempered the message in the lyrics with both hope and optimism, but with also a thread of skepticism. Is this ever really going to be over? Because we were in a cold war with Russia when I was born, you know, in the early 60s. That hasn't, I mean, it's come and gone a couple of times, but right now we're as close as we were at the Bay of Pigs, man. I mean, and not to get political on you, but is it ever really going to change? Is it ever going to be really over? We're never going to stop losing loved ones. We're never going to stop growing older. And, life happens. And it's never really going to be over. But we can get over it and move on. We can. There is hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. It might be a freight train headed my way, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And we can laugh again, smile again, talk again. Dude, I just got out of the hospital. I was way worse off than I thought I was. Of course, when you're sick, and I've never been sick in my adult life. I'm making a cold once for a day every 10 years. I mean, I've been really blessed with great health. And this hit me over the summer and continued. And it was a combination of factors. I don't want to get medical, and I don't really know. The doctors never really told me all the stuff that was wrong with me. And I had to cancel a couple of shows. I ended up doing the Rock Timber Festival in Hinckley, Minnesota, with Tom Kiefer from Cinderella and Winger. And
Piercy was there.
Piercy was there. One of the shows that I'm doing it. I'm doing the gig. You know, I've been sick before. I'm doing the gig. I think I can hit the notes. I think I can breathe. I think I can walk. I'm doing the gig, right? So I did the gig, stayed isolated from everybody. I drove myself 8 hours to the show, was in my own room and not around the band. They rehearsed without me. I walked on stage, kept my distance from the guys in the band and the audience. And I got through the gig, got home, was in the hospital for a week. And never really got an answer. So I really just got my voice back. We scheduled this interview a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I'm going, man, I hope I can talk by Wednesday.
And unbelievable.
Now I'm back.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I was unable to, looking back now that I'm better, now that I'm Rod Keel again, it was a very eye-opening experience. And you realize kind of not your own mortality, because I mean, I don't know that I was close to death or anything, but I was in bad shape. The doctors were worried. Everybody was really worried about me. And I never really found out or got an answer to what was wrong. I was just, you know, I was not, my stuff was not working. I mean, my breathing and everything about my physique and my life and my, so that was, I kept thinking about that in the hospital bed. When this is over, I'm going to get back on the mic. I'm going to get back to work. I'm going to go back to the gym. I'm going to get my hands on a guitar. When I got out of the hospital, and I was really in bad shape, but I faked my way out. It's like, hey, I'm fine. You know, I'm just acting. This was part of my acting training. I lost my headphone. Acting.
You sign yourself out, you know? Yeah, you sign yourself out. You're good to go.
Yeah, I'm doing everything I possibly can to fake my way out of that hospital, right? Oh, fine. Yeah, let's do this. Yeah. And they go, well, he seems like he's all right. Let's let him out. I get home and I'm going, oh my God. And this is 2 weeks ago. And the first thing I knew, I had to get back to the music. The music is my medicine. So the gear had come back from the Hinckley show, the Rock Timber gig.
Yeah.
And it's scattered. It's in the trailer. There's some in the RV. There's some in my truck, my gear, my cables, my guitars, they're everywhere. I'm going to set up my rig and I'm going to get back in the studio and start, you know, I've got to hit the fretboard with these fingers. It took me 3 days to set up the gear. one load at a time. I'm back to full strength now.
And
yesterday, man, yesterday I got my voice back. I'm back on the radio again. I did a show last week. I had Blackie Lawless on the show.
I was going to ask about that because I'm such a Wasp fan. They're coming up. The tour's coming up. And that's an interview like a holy grail to me. So I was going to ask you about the Blackie interview.
Man, it was fantastic. And I had the interview in the can already, which was supposed to launch when I went in the hospital. And I just couldn't create or produce a radio show at that time.
Sure.
But as soon as I got home, it's timely. They're going out on tour. It's a big deal. It's a great interview, a fantastic discussion with Blackie. So I had to get it released. I had to get back on the horse and ride, and I'm getting on the mic. The interview was done, you know, so the interview, the quality of my voice was fine. And the discussion with Blackie was great, but you got, you know, all that other time to fill, and yeah, you got to pretend like you're okay. And I really wasn't. The interview saved me because Blackie was such a gracious subject. And we had never spoken much back in the day. I mean, we both came up through the 80s and the Hollywood scene and all that. We're never really friends. We just, you know, would see each other and wave and say hello. But this discussion, it felt like we had known each other forever. And he just let himself be himself. He's an interesting dichotomy in the way that he is this really scary monster. And he's also just the guy next door and a Christian. And that fascinates me. And it's kind of, you know, the same way I am. I am, you know, not just a regular guy next door, but then I turn into the metal cowboy and watch out. So I enjoyed the interview with Blackie, but my voice was still, you know, on the segment one and segment three, when I have to talk and kind of be a DJ, was tough. And there's a couple of spots that I just couldn't use. And I just put in a commercial, you know, just go to the commercial and pick it up and play a song after that, because I can't do it. But then every day since then, I come downstairs, have my coffee, get on the mic. And finally yesterday, it's like, it's 100%. Back. It's back. You know, at least 90-something percent.
Yeah,
I don't know. Because I had this big interview with Clint Switzer on the Road course. To Rock. So I got to get better, right? I got to get my pipes back.
Well, so, yeah, forget Blackie. This one right here, thank God. You got to be 100% for that. And that Blackie thing, he gets a bad rap too. Like, he's someone that people say, oh, he doesn't deal well with fans and these, you know, interviews. And so I'm excited to see, I heard him on with Eddie Trunk. Can't wait to check out your version as well. So,
Ron, yeah, we'll launch that on the podcast. The radio interviews are 14 minutes long. The podcast interview is twice as long.
Yes. And that's the version you want. Yeah.
We go way more in depth. We talk about stuff that just didn't fit in the radio show. We have a couple of ex-bandmates, for instance, Stephen Riley, who played drums on the Right to Rock album and then quit. As soon as his drums were done, he quit. So I'm out. I'm going to go join Wasp. So I had to ask Blackie about that.
That's a good connection there.
And then the Rick Fox thing with because Rick Fox, the bass player in Steeler, my dear friend, was in Wasp in the beginning. And there's been a lot of talk and controversy and stuff. So I felt honor bound, due to my friendship with Rick Fox, to ask Blackie his take on that. I'm not sure we cleared anything up, but I had to go there and I did.
Yeah. So, well, it's so great to have you back at 100%. And I'll tell you what, Ron, people here, I'm in Kansas City, but here coming up next month, like a month from today, actually, November 5th, you're going to be acoustic here at High Ridge, Missouri. That's right outside of St. Louis. So let's just call it St. Louis here. And I want to bring that up because for those people that listening, you know, that are from that side of the state, or they're planning on making the trip, because, you know, here in the Midwest, we only get so much Ron Keel. We are going to get you on the 5th. So what can fans expect when they see you in the acoustic version of Ron Keel, and what that show is going to look like? And I just want to make sure everybody knows that the website's ronkeel.com. You can get tickets for that show right now.
Thank you. And, you know, I love the solo acoustic format, and it's a huge challenge to get out there with just your guitar, your stories, your voice, and your songs. It's liberating in many ways because, you know, you stand or fall on your own merits. But I've been doing it a long time. I've released a solo acoustic album, which I'm very, very proud of. And I enjoy doing those shows. It is, I've been doing it for 20 years now almost. And there's other guys that do it well. John Corabi, Mike Tramp. Wow. I mean, some of these guys, they are.
Eric Martin's done it recently.
Eric Martin as well. Yeah, he's E-Mart. I've done some gigs with all those guys.
Love them all.
We've done solo acoustic gigs on the same bill together. And I enjoy the opportunity to take the fans on a journey through my entire career. Usually it's kind of in chronological order. I'll start with my opening song, and then I'll take you back to the beginning and play Steeler, Keel, Iron Horse, Fair Game, new Ron Keel band stuff, a couple of songs that haven't been released yet that are part of the acoustic show, and some covers as well. I've done 17 covers over the course of my career. So there are songs that the audience, even if they don't know who Ron Keel is, that they've heard before, they can sing along and participate. And I never really know what I'm going to do until I get up there. I don't use a song list.
That's awesome.
I've got a list of options.
Yes.
I try and go in somewhat chronological order, and it really depends on the vibe and the mood, and you're playing the room. It's a lot of fun. This gig in High Ridge, Missouri, like you said, right outside of St. Louis. I've played there a couple of times, and it's a great vibe, great environment. The owner, Mike French, is a good friend, and he invited me down. This is, I think it's a private event. You have to get tickets at the venue or something. I'm not sure. But hopefully we'll be able to get my hardcore friends and fans in the room, because it's been a few years since I played the St. Louis area. I think the night before, Clint, that is November 4th, I will be passing through Kansas City and I'm open for any options or opportunities in your neck of the woods. I'm Omaha, Kansas City. You know, I'm on my way to St. Louis, so I might as well make a stop and see you.
Man, I will bang that drum around the town, man. I know some good rooms around here. That would be just tremendous.
Thank you. And I know it's short notice, but you know, I just booked this recently, and I felt like after what I went through in the hospital and being sick, I needed to get back on the horse and ride sooner than later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Book the gig. Let's go, and I'll figure out. You know, give me something to look forward to, something to work towards. Then I've got Myrtle Beach and Charleston, yep. December 2nd and 3rd, the big New Year's Eve show in our hometown of Sioux Falls. Yep. Next year, we've got Australia again. I'm really looking forward to that. The Sturgis Rally is always one of the high points of our year. We do Ron Keel Band is one of the resident acts at the world's largest biker bar, the Full Throttle Saloon.
Oh,
so great. That's big for us. A huge festival in Minnesota called Kicking Up Country, which has been an amazing opportunity for us. We've done both the rock gig and the Southern rock gig. They have a rock night on Wednesday. And so you come out, you do all the hardcore metal and right to rock, and you know, you're screaming and sweating and all that. And then on Friday night last year, we opened for Dwight Yoakam,
I love him.
Me too. And I was really excited about that challenge. Ron Keel Band can pull that off because we are diverse enough to where we can do a Keel show. And we just did the Hinckley show in
Minnesota, Rock
Timber.
Yeah.
That was really, it was all Keel songs except two. I think we did When This Is Over, the new single, of course, but everything else was all the Keel hits. And then we can do a biker event for 10,000 people where nobody knows who Ron Keel is. And we'll throw in all of our Southern rock classics from South by South Dakota, the Southern rock tribute album that we did a couple of years ago. So I appreciate the opportunity to tailor the show to the audience. I've always done that. Even back in the day when we were opening for Metallica, you throw in all the metal stuff. You're opening for Bon Jovi, you throw in all the chick songs.
Light. You've got it figured out by now. Yeah, I mean, you know how this works. You know how this business works.
That's part of the fun of it. But the truth is, and I'll stand by this till the day I die, I only play music that I like. I'm not bending over to please somebody.
Yeah.
I just have a full menu to order from. So I take the items off the menu that fit the meal or the occasion.
Which is absolutely perfect, Ron. It is just always such an honor, and I want to make sure that everybody gets over to the website, which is ronkeel.com, and just to take in all that you do, because, you know, just like us, for instance, here, you know, On the Road Rock is a subsidiary of our media brand, Starcade Media. We've done college football documentaries and sports shows, and I'm always on the road doing sporting events, rock and roll, festivals, all of it. We're kind of kindred spirits here, Ron, in so many ways, and I love that when you talked about the content creation, how important that is. So hope everyone checks it out, Ron. It's always a pleasure to have you. We'll definitely be in touch. I'm going to see if I can't hit up someone and get you a stop here in Kansas City on your way. I'll definitely be in touch, my man. So,
thanks for having me on, Quinn. I really enjoyed the discussion and appreciate what you do. And
likewise.
Thank you. Right on.
Thank you, sir.